Hey, everybody, it's Aaron. Welcome to this special episode of the podcast. I'm going to get into what you're going to hear in just a second. But just a reminder, we are creating some exclusive podcast content that is 7-minute story themed that I know you're going to love. And we want to distribute it exclusively for those who sign up for our quarterly newsletter. That's it. We're just going to send out 4 emails a year, but you'll get a piece of content that no one else gets, plus some behind the scenes stuff. And we really want to kind of create that close, intimate relationship with our hardcore listeners who are listening every week, and we want to be able to give you more to pay you back for the attention you've given us. So it's our thank you to you. The way you get this is literally just go to 7minutestories.com and just sign up for the quarterly newsletter. We're not going to send you any extra stuff in different months. You're not going to get blasted with tons of emails. 4 times a year, you'll get an email with some of this bonus content, etc. Okay, so getting that out of the way, wanted to let you know about what you're going to hear today. This is going to be available on the public feed, along with the 7-minute stories you hear every month on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen. That's always going to be open to the public. But we wanted to add an extra monthly episode where Corey and I talk. And this is going to go beyond 7 minutes, but Corey's going to basically interview me and, or as she says, interrogate me. And we're going to talk about the previous month's episodes, talk about things that didn't make the cut, go on some tangents, laugh, have some fun. So this week was our first attempt at doing that because we got some great feedback from you in terms of our relationship and our kind of chemistry that we have on the mic. And she's a superstar in my opinion. And so we went down here into the studio and we set up the mics. Actually, Ken, our producer, made sure that we didn't screw this up. So thank you, Ken, for getting this set up. And so once a month, you can count on an extra episode of Corey and I having a conversation for 20 or 30 minutes. And hopefully you can get to know us more and we can share some behind the scenes stuff from the stories that you hear each and every week. Okay, without further ado, let's get into it. Enjoy.
Can you touch your toe to my toe?
Toe power. Okay. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Toe power. Yeah. We are the weirdest people in the world.
We're touching toes with socks on, by the way.
Yeah, with
this
socks.
Isn't weird.
Okay, anyways, that's not going in there.
Yes, it is.
So let's start. I have 5 things written down on this piece of paper.
You do have a very official looking note.
I bought a legal pad. I served jury duty a couple months ago and decided that I now need legal pads in my life because when we used notes, that's what
this
I
just feels
wrote
like a
on,
very intense really interview.
It. So anyway, it's not an intense interview. It's with me. I'm sorry. My face is not close enough to the microphone.
It's perfect. Better.
So first things first, I want to talk about The Lonely Office.
Sure.
I want to talk about how amazing it is and how interesting it is and how like the information is so handy.
And you're not just saying this. I got to say, you're not just saying this is like, hey, we're married. I'm going to do an ad for this other show he does.
No.
You are very critical. In fact, I will come to you with project and you're like, that sucks.
Yeah.
You're like, this project sucks.
Yeah. But,
so you're very rarely actually say things are good.
Well, that's not true.
No, you're true. You are. You are like, you have a very high bar.
Yeah. I'm a little bit of a snob about stuff, which is hilarious.
You like 7MS, but you've never talked... Besides 7MS, this is the first project I've been involved in that you were like, this is great, besides that.
That's not true. Okay. I love everything that you do, and I always tell you that.
No, I'm just saying, I love this. We're already getting into the But I'm saying, like, you...
This is a big thing. I have really watched this project grow.
Yeah.
And I have loved it in every stage. And I think the other two people, the other two hosts...
Matt
Sambuli and Leia. I don't know Leia.
Ova. She's got, like, a lot of different last names, but it's Leia Ova.
Yeah, whatever her name is, it's incredible, and she's amazing, and he's amazing, and it's really a fun listen, and it's a little bit longer, so you get a little more Aaron.
A little bit. That could be bad.
Oh, no, I think it's good, because there are times where I'm sitting in the car for a long period of time, and I want something a little longer.
Yeah.
So you can binge 7-minute stories, or now you have the option
to listen to The Lonely
Office.
Enjoy
The Lonely Office.
So I'll give you the 90-second thing. Lonely Office is brought to you by Glassdoor. A lot of people know Glassdoor. For like decades, it was sort of that place where you could look at salaries, job postings. It was kind of like the benchmark. Indeed's there. You know, you had those places that you go Monster.
Well,
remember Monster.com?
I also know for a fact, if you just put into Google, I want a new job, Glassdoor is usually the first thing that comes up.
So that's a really big deal. That was great. We developed the show, Matt and I, for about 2 years. Mm-hmm. And kind of created a set of episodes to serve as a pilot, and Glassdoor got on board. And the reason why is because Glassdoor has an app now. They kind of rebranded and repositioned to be a space where people could have anonymous conversations about work.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like Reddit and LinkedIn, where you have sort of an anonymity factor, but people can talk about real things like, how do I properly get fired in the sense of like, what do I do when it happens? How do I negotiate a contract at work? What do I do? Like, how much of myself do I bring to work? What can I say or not say on social media? Like, will my job... So for operators, like employers and employees, it's sort of the new water cooler, but it's a digital water cooler because this whole thing is, the Lonely Office title is that so many people are in a hybrid remote slash hybrid state at work. And so there's new things, new sort of like Larry David-esque things that are happening.
Absolutely.
That we got to talk about, like The Office. Like, you know, you love The Office, the series.
So much.
But it's not like that was all about office, tangible,
in-person
culture. Now there's these new things, and people know what I'm talking about right now, like Zoom meetings and weird emails and Slack and all these things that are happening.
People
vaping and interviews. Like people act, are you at work or not at work? People having two jobs. Like there's all this stuff. So we created the show to have a place for that. And all of the conversations and episodes are sourced from topics and inspired from conversations happening on the Glassdoor app.
Yeah.
And then I basically create a story inspired by those things. And that's how we lead each show. So I think people who listen to I said it last week, people who listen to this, not just as like, hey, listen to this podcast. I think they'd enjoy it because it starts with a story.
And the stories are really fun. I really enjoy these.
Yeah. 90 seconds, pretty good, right?
That was pretty great.
Thank you.
Was that actually 90 seconds?
I don't know. I can feel it in my bones. I think it was about 90.
Yeah, I have no, you know me, I'll think it's been like 7 hours and it's been 10 seconds. I have no concept of time at all. I'll be like, I just need 10 minutes to get ready. And then it's, you know, 75 minutes later. So here's question two. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
How much do you love my goose, Gertrude?
You know, honestly, I've come to really love Gertrude. I think the episode this past month in February was called The Golden Goose.
Mm-hmm.
And so people know if you've listened to the episode, you know, if you haven't, please do to know what Corey is talking about right now. But basically, it was this odyssey of love, as well as a search for a concrete goose that you've been talking about for the longest
time. Listen, I wanted this goose for so long that when my kid's dad came to get them, mm-hmm. he said to me, "You finally got the goose."
Right. Right.
That's a long time.
That's a long time. So like we're talking like a decade or more.
Yeah.
You've been talking
about
concrete.
I've wanted a cement.
Cement. Is it concrete or cement?
What's the difference?
I think it's the same thing.
It's a garden statue is what we learned.
Yeah. And you named it Gertrude.
Actually, Gertrude was my great grandmother's name.
And it's an honor. But the other thing I didn't realize that you'd be doing, I thought it was just to have it on the porch. You've been dressing it up.
Well, that was the plan all along.
I didn't
Which
know
you didn't. Yeah, you just yeah.
Right
you
now
just
it has
heard,
a it has a bingo outfit on.
Yeah, it has bingo card and a little hat.
And it says I love bingo on the t-shirt of the goose.
Yes, but soon switching it up for St. Patrick's Day.
I love Gertrude. And this I'm going to be honest, this is the stuff, and maybe I'll open up a little bit here. I mean, not that I'm not open, but about, you know, that's kind of a love story about you. And mm-hmm. Those are the things I love about you.
That I'm a weirdo.
It's not just it's so interesting to me. Like the things that you like, it's a non-traditional thing. You're not just like, I want this really traditional thing, or like, get me a Lexus with a bow on it at Christmas. Like,
I would take a Lexus with a bow on it at Christmas,
you would
just a side note. But I also really love things like a goose or a tissue box that has like a pinup girl on it.
And that's very rare.
Strange,
weird
things.
When it comes to me. I mean, when it comes to me and how I like view women and relationships and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But so you're unique in that way. So this is the reason why I love you.
I'm an odd goose.
Goose. I almost said quack, but they don't do that. They're more
just
like,
so you know, I fully intend to buy a second goose, and name it George and put it on the porch because that's my great grandfather's name. And now I need two geese. I need a couple.
Well, I think you're in luck because in the story, if they listen to it, I highlight sort of in a quick way, what I had to do to try to find this thing.
Yes.
And I went to 2 to 3 different stores. They didn't have it. What didn't make the cut in the story is that I placed a spring order in like multiple locations in the county. So we're going to be getting phone calls in a couple of weeks saying the geese are in.
We might end up with more than 2.
We might have 6 geese on the porch.
I wouldn't be upset about that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying I'd be all about it. We could have like an entire, we could do all of my ancestors in the form of geese.
As like a shrine, and the metaphor is the geese. The one thing I would say is that that's those kind of stories. I love those kind of stories in terms of how they come organically. Some of the ones that many of them I've been thinking about for a while, yeah, but the ones are the best to tell. Are the ones
moment.
In the moment. Like, I didn't expect that. So I just moved the calendar around, and I can't believe I moved one of the episodes around. But my point is, just what happened organically. It was awesome.
By the way, I really appreciate how much effort you put into finding the goose.
You're welcome.
I think my favorite gift you've ever given me.
As you wish.
Thank you. I love when you say that. Okay. Question.
Yeah.
Cheesy dippers.
What about them?
I feel like we need to explain what a cheesy dipper is.
I think most people who, my demographic that listens to this podcast know.
That's not true because not every school had cheesy dippers.
Yeah, everything is from Ohio, so I think everything is Ohio.
Yeah, it's not.
It's Midwest. It's just casseroles and cheesy dippers. Everyone's like, and pierogies.
The cheesy dippers, people always assume they're Bosco sticks, which they are not. And I know you said that they're different and you mentioned it.
I did.
But I feel like you really need to highlight what exactly a cheesy dipper is. Which is that a cheesy dipper is basically a really greasy breadstick with melted
cheese,
mozzarella.
Yeah, it's it's like a goo.
Yeah, it's a goo. It's a goo. It's a mozzarella goo. But it also would be a solid. Like you could peel it off.
You can peel it off, yeah, because it gets coagulated.
Coagulated
together.
Is a disgusting word.
It gets coagulated on top of that's. I think that's what happens to blood. Anyways, the whole point is it just becomes like you melt it like melted cheese.
It's like a gelatinous magical
thing. It's gelatinous.
Thing.
And then you could lift it off.
And then what? I don't know what that sauce was. What was that sauce?
No, that's so what episode are we referring to? Is this
Hunger Games?
Hunger Games?
I don't want to give away too much of the episodes in case people haven't listened to them.
No,
yet.
I just want to know what. I just didn't know if you were referencing episode or you just want to talk about cheesy dippers.
I mean,
which is
I
totally
always
fine.
Want to talk about cheesy dippers. I've been talking about finding and having a cheesy dipper party for years.
Yeah.
However.
I think
because anyone that went to school with us, the minute you mention a cheesy dipper, everyone's like, oh my God.
Well, I think the sauce, I think in the story I called it a ragu.
I don't even know if ragu is that right.
It's just like a beef tomato base, this thing. So if you could imagine, you know,
it's almost like the stuff they put in a sloppy Joe, but without the meat.
You know how you've been making stuffed peppers for me, or I'm sorry, stuffed cabbage for
yes.
me recently, per my request. Another Ohio thing, by the way, people are like, what? Stuffed cabbage, one of my favorite meals ever. It's that. It's like the red sauce that you put on top of that, but you have it with beef in it.
Like the stuffed cabbage sauce is a little sweeter. The cheesy dipper sauce was like definitely a savory, runny, half oil, half tomato something.
It was glorious.
I feel like it was the leftover sauce from
lunch. Oh, for sure. From last year.
Like
they had
were
it in the
like,
freezer.
What is it? Let's throw this in there.
Yeah. They threw a little bit of like old milk in it or something.
And so here's another question. I was thinking about this. When you got cheesy dippers, did they always put the sauce on the side?
Always on the side.
Okay. That's what I thought. But I didn't know if maybe I was just like a weirdo because I am who I am. If maybe I had asked for it to be put in a separate square on our lunch trays.
No.
Or if it was.
When you get to cheesy dippers, and like you said, the difference, Bosco sticks, the cheese is inside the bread.
Yeah, that's way. I don't like Bosco sticks.
Neither do I. That's why at the end of the. Well, I won't give the end of the story away. But yeah, that's the whole reveal is like, oh, this is not what I thought it was. But maybe I would have had a different reaction with cheesy dippers. Cheesy dippers were the four breadsticks.
Yep.
And then you had the cheese melted on top. Mm-hmm. And then they were kind of pull apart, but they were really good, greasy, like garlic butter. And then on the side was that meat sauce. You dip it in there. And this is the whole point, though, is like, I think we were just starving at school. When you're a kid, you like anything like would look great. Like
now they might be horrific.
Like just onion soup, like onion broth would be like, oh, yeah.
I would not have eaten onion broth.
I would have. I would drink it. Just a gallon of onion broth.
That's disgusting.
I was so hungry.
Yeah. Well, that's why you were eating Werther's Originals.
They're a great candy.
Which you, by the way, love now. There's some in my car at this moment that you left there.
Gotta have them.
Werther's Originals and Reasons.
And Reasons, yeah.
You left in the car.
I did, yeah. Like, I'm a hard candy. I'm a grandma hard candy.
You are the grandmother of hard candy.
A lot of hard candy. The strawberry thing that, you know, the strawberry, the mints.
I love those.
They're great.
Yeah, you're not a, like, dessert guy.
No. My grandmother used to have a jar of all different types of hard candy, my grandma Tia, my mom's side. And there would be a mixture of stuff. And again, same thing. I'm hungry during the day. You got till 5 or 6 o'clock before she made dinner. Summer, we're staying with her. And she would have those glass jars. But they she mixed all the candies. So it was like Lifesavers, Halls. Everyone,
Halls is not a candy.
She had a
miscandy.
You
and your brother always talk about this, which I find to be
and they were old and
endearing
melted.
And disgusting. Yeah, when it's like melted to the wrapper.
Yep, that's all. And I thought that's what Halls were. I thought they were just a chewy candy.
Chewy? They're not supposed to
At my
be.
Grandma's house, that's why I was like, oh, this, I'm like, this is really strong gum.
They're not supposed to be chewy.
It's like really strong gum. But we would eat that, and then you'd have a, so all the scents and the flavors of the candy would just intermingle.
Oh, I hate that.
That was my life.
That's really disturbing.
That was the candy jar.
I'm very sorry.
No, I'm sorry.
My mom, if you asked for something sweet, she would say, there's apples in the fridge. We didn't have, there was no candy.
Yeah, my grandma did. They had, actually, the Halls there were there because I've told in a couple stories. Unfortunately, there was like smoking in the past and like coughing.
All of our
So everyone had Halls because you're coughing from emphysema and shit all the time. So that's what was there. And I would eat dozens of these. I can't believe it's probably why I have some like digestive issues to this day.
Well,
it probably screwed me up.
Well, you were just eating anything anyone gave you, it sounds like.
I was starving. I was so hungry as a kid.
It's really funny. Also, I don't remember a teacher ever giving me any kind of Werther's original ever. All I remember getting in school candy-wise was those caramel apple suckers and Jolly Ranchers.
Oh, those were great. They did come into vogue, I think, the year after that. But did you have Mrs. Gilbert?
Was that the other middle school? Because I didn't go to the same middle school as you, remember.
Yeah, that was my middle school, yeah.
Yeah, we have two separate middle schools where we live, remember.
Yes.
I didn't go to that one. I went to the other one.
Yes.
The better one.
Mm.
We'll fight.
Didn't have Werther's, did you?
No, we didn't. We had caramel apple suckers.
We've gone
Jolly
really
Ranchers.
Off. We've gone off the rails.
Yep, sure
here.
Have. Okay.
Where do we go now?
Well, now we go to What Becomes of the Brokenhearted. Dun, dun.
Should we turn the recording off?
Dun.
No, this
no,
is
I
elementary
can be
school.
Nice. Yeah,
go ahead.
I don't know what to do because I know
Stay
these,
close to the mic, please.
I know these names, so I have to be careful to not accidentally say the name of the person.
Well, I gave fake names in the story.
No, but I didn't write them down.
Okay.
So I know the real names. I can't be
so
held
just,
responsible.
Just reference whatever you
I'll
need
I'll just
to reference.
Say there's the girl.
Who, yes.
Who you wrote the note to, and then the boy and her came and she faked you out.
Yes. There's that one. That was rough.
I hope you know who you are because I'm coming for it. I'm just kidding. I'm very happy that, you know, not that she destroyed your heart, but that it didn't work out with you two when you were in middle elementary.
I think the absurdity of my stories is that they're in like junior high.
Yeah. I don't know how you remember these things.
It was a huge impact. This is the point is that like upon reflection, none of these relationships would have ever meant anything.
No, it would have just been like 1 week of holding hands, maybe.
But in your mind, and I know people listening right now, when you are in that state, junior high, you know, high school especially, everything is the most, I think I said this in the story online, like it's the most important thing
Absolutely.
In the world. You
Yes.
think it is so important. And it just, I think I was, you know, starved for, I wanted, you know, attention. I was always a romantic. I was always.
You are a true romantic.
Yeah. One of our listeners went on the YouTube page and listens that way and said, like, he said, Aaron, we're hopeless romantics. And I totally agree with that. Chad, who's always listening on YouTube. That's how I was as a kid. I don't know where that started. It might have been the movies that I watched.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and I know I've done episodes about that where it's like, it just, you start watching enough, like, John Cusack movies and like the rom-coms and like the high school romance movies when you were a kid. I was watching 90210 at a very early age.
I can't believe you were allowed to watch that.
I was. I wasn't allowed to watch Melrose Place though. That
oh,
was a
yeah,
different.
No, definitely
was,
not that.
Got a little inappropriate. Melrose Place got a little
I've
hot.
Never seen a single episode of Melrose Place.
Neither have I.
I've seen a few
allowed.
Of 90210.
Every episode
honest,
for every
allowed.
Season. Loved it. A lot yeah. of drama. So anyways, I think that was the framework. So it just got me thinking about, that's my computer. I should have turned the volume off.
It's aggressively loud.
It's really loud. It's a digital chain letting me know emails are in. No, but that's, that, you know, that's what it was. It's just, I was I was thinking about it. And then I just got in these weird, sad situations where girls didn't like me as much as I liked them.
It makes me sad.
I'm happy because it meant, as I said, I found.
Thank goodness.
But none of those relationships would have meant anything. But I do think it's important to show like how kids are feeling. Even they have like, even though it's not mature, there are adult, you start thinking about things in a more complicated way when you're younger, even though you don't know what it is or how to manifest it. And you should be a kid.
Yes.
Be a kid. But I think it just, you know what I'm saying? Are you moving your pencil to tell me to stop saying something?
No, I'm just moving my pencil.
Oh, I thought that was a sign.
I'm just fidgeting because
because sometimes you do these things real quick. You do these gestures and it makes me, I'm like, what do you mean by that? But you're just shaking your.
I'm not doing anything.
You're hilarious. But anyways, yeah, I don't know what it was. Just that's how I was as a kid.
It is really interesting. Kids do have like, our kids are all sort of teens and tweens.
Yeah.
At this point, and they have grown up feelings about things sometimes.
Yes.
And, you know, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, you start having like...
When I think it back, I'm always like, man, don't just be friends with people for as long as you can.
Yeah, don't like, do what I did. Don't like, don't give girls flowers. Like, you're a kid.
Yeah.
That's what I tell my daughter. It's like, just be friends with people. And it's like, because at the end of the day, that's what it's really about.
Absolutely.
Because even if you end up with someone that you love and when you're older, it's got to be based on friendship.
Yeah. Well, and I think you and I are both very fortunate in that we have... Obviously, we have adult friends that we've made as adults, but we also both have really great circles of friends of our high school friends.
Yeah, that's rare.
Which I think does not happen very much.
You're right.
We're really lucky in that way.
Yeah.
Although, you know, they're all a little crazy.
But they're great.
But they are great. And yeah, I don't know where I'm going with this at all.
You're running the show.
We've gone off on a very strange tangent. I did write that those girls...
Mm-hmm.
They'll missed out. You know why?
Why?
Because you point to the microphone to remind me to turn my head, but you're also the guy who spent days trying to find me a cement goose for Valentine's Day.
Yes.
And like, that's a really good description of who you are as a partner.
Thank you.
You're like the guy who will do anything to try and make me happy, even when I'm rotten.
You're never rotten. I love you.
I'm rotten pretty often, actually. But it's really nice that you did that.
You're welcome.
I did also, what did I get for you for Valentine's Day? I bet he doesn't even remember. Let's see.
What are you doing to me right now?
I know who you are.
No, what are you talking about?
I have literally zero self-control. And the minute I buy you anything, I immediately give it to you. So I think I gave your Valentine's Day present like January 27th.
Joe Parra tickets?
No, that was your Christmas gift. I got you Joe Parra tickets.
This is really good. So let me just give me a second.
You want a hint?
Joe Parra tickets. Hold on. Damn it. Yeah, give me a hint.
It's a record.
Pearl Jam. No.
This is out of control.
I'm sorry. I'm. Remember we talked about gifts as love language?
I know you don't care at all.
I do care. It's just what matters is that you're giving it to me.
That's really nice.
It's just you as a person. So sometimes I'm just too caught in your eyes to even see what you give me. I did. It's a record. Oh, is it what is it?
The War of the Worlds.
Oh, yeah. Record. The War of the Worlds. By the way, thank you. See, what I was caught up in is the fact that you remembered that. And you know I love War of the Worlds.
Yes.
Thank you for that. Seriously.
So I got you the original recording.
The recording, which I absolutely love. And I'm fascinated with. And we're going to just... I know in the future we've talked about, we're going to do something with that. I don't know what it is. Maybe part of the 7MS universe plan, this big plan that I have to build out the universe. No, it's like I have, you know, no, I'm serious. It's great.
No, I know. It's amazing. Anything you want to mention or bring up or?
No, that's it. I think.
Your grievances?
No grievances. I think this is cool. I hope we do. So we're going to do this every month.
Yep.
And we'll see if people... like it or if they just turn this off.
I'd like to believe that they'll like it.
I think so. We always get great feedback. You do. Like, I think here's the thing. When you told me about this, I was like, yes, because people do like hearing from you when we did some of these episodes we've done in the past.
I want to do another one where we do a weird, like we go on an adventure. Like we did that one when we went to the haunted bed and breakfast.
Yes.
We should do another thing like that at some point.
Sure.
Also.
And we can make that the monthly thing. But I think it's cool to like check in, talk about the month's episodes and, you know, but also give some background to it because like you, I don't get the chance to do that.
Well, we have these conversations every month.
We do.
Just don't record them.
Right.
So I was like, why don't we just record them? And if people like listening to that, then we'll keep it. And if not, we'll probably still keep it.
And they, you just skip this one once a month. Don't worry about it.
You don't have to listen to it. But if you want to hear my take on Aaron talking about other women, then. then
oh,
I've had other people ask me about
does
that.
Does that bother you?
No.
I am hesitant. And I'm hesitant sometimes because even though I'm always careful with identities and stuff like that, I never want. Like these are the stories I share are like personal stories, but I think I always feel like you're emotionally mature enough to know he's just talking about stories of his past or highlighting things. And this is part of telling stories and the way that I tell stories.
Yeah. I think you are probably the most respectful partner that I've ever had as far as like you are really aware of my feelings in these ways.
Yeah.
And you always kind of check in. You'll say like, hey, I recorded this thing. I want to make sure. Are you? And I'm always like, yeah, I don't care. You were an elementary age student. It's fine. I hope that if I cared, we'd have a much larger problem in life.
I find what's actually on your legal pad is the name and numbers of those girls. You start making threatening phone calls.
I've been calling them secretly.
Leaving. No, I try to check in.
I did just threaten on here.
Yeah, you did. I do check in with you. I think that is the weird balance with this show of doing a very personal show and at the same time maintaining a ton of privacy. And I think so far I've been able to do that because, you know, even though there's so many of these stories, it's just like a fraction of our life.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, that's the difference, I think, between some of these reality television shows. I sound my age now. Some of these reality television shows, but they really are. I think they're exploitive. You know how I feel about them.
We're not really.
And don't get me wrong. Some of them are fun and they're like junk food. But I do think there is a danger in turning the camera or the microphone on and just like sharing every aspect of your life just to be consumed by others. And I think that happens more with celebrity because, you know, we're not celebrities. So it's like,
yeah, nobody really cares about our day to day, I don't think.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. What people care about, I always want, this is where you told me about this and we can end here, but like about the magic of this show. And I think why anybody even listens to it, because frankly, no one like the fact that this show is doing as well as it is. And we have this many people in a relatively short amount of time. It's been 5 years now, I think. I can't remember, like 2018. Yeah, 2018.
Sense
so that's
of time.
6 years. Jeez. So like 5 or 6 years. That's relatively short. It's not like I've been doing it for 40 years, but it's like, I think the magic with this show and why it even works with no money.
Yeah.
No, but well, I mean, it's not that we don't make a living, but I'm saying like
zero marketing dollars,
like very little, maybe a few like bumps in a whatever social media, but that never doesn't do anything.
Yeah, never.
Never fucking works.
Stop saying the F word.
I said it one time.
My grandma's going to listen to this.
I said the F word one time and I never swear. I barely swear.
Grandma, I'm really sorry.
And I even put the explicit when I say like shit.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, why is he putting explicit?
It's specifically because I tell him to.
The reason.
Some people listen.
I got to finish the thought though.
Finish.
Because then people are like, what was he saying? But my whole point is, I think the magic of the stories and why they land isn't because of me or you or just, it's because the whole thing is it connects with a memory in other people.
Absolutely.
That's what great stories do. Because even though they're small, Midwestern, Northeast Ohio, like regular dude memories, that's what a lot of people have. It's a universality.
Absolutely.
You're just like, oh yeah, I know what it's like to eat weird cough drops. Like,
I remember doing that. Yeah.
Right. I remember cheesy dippers.
Yeah.
So that's where the connection is. And I think that's why it's grown. And I think that's why it's like, it doesn't matter. I'm not trying to use it to like, you know, talk about they are actual people, but the goal of it isn't to like call the person
out and say their name, exploiting people.
Yeah. I don't like that.
Yeah. I don't like it either.
What were you going to say?
Oh, all I was going to say is the reason that I originally was like, you should probably mark the ones that have lots of swears in them is because we have friends that listen with their kids.
Yeah.
And they asked me, are there swears? And I went, I don't.
Some it's only
do,
sometimes.
Some don't. It's not a lot of swear. I don't
this
know.
This is really, my stuff is so like,
no,
it's
I
like
know.
PG.
Yeah.
It's as PG as it gets. Like I get flack sometimes. People are like, even artist friends that I came up with were like, you know, it's kind of like folksy.
It is. Kinda, well, we live a folksy life.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's how I tell stories.
This is our life.
There is some quirk in it. People know that. Like, there's some kind of Woody Allen-esque, like, neuroses, clearly. Right? It's like if Woody Allen and a farmer had a child. And maybe that's not a great idea, talking about Woody Allen and children.
I would
children.
Say that you're not Woody Allen. I would not compare yourself to Woody Allen.
Larry David.
Larry David is a much...
If,
more accurate
if Larry
representation.
David, if Larry David had a child with a farmer.
If Larry David was a farmer.
It would be 7 minute stories.
Yeah, that would be you.
That's it.
You would be farmer.
Farmer David.
Larry David.
Yeah. There is literally zero people listening at this point. But I would say, I think that we talked about this. We're doing this in the studio basement. But we're thinking about taking this show on the road, which means up the block.
Yeah, anyone that's near to us that hears this and you are a business owner or
yeah, I think we're gonna stop by businesses.
A cool kid, let me know if we can come record there.
Yeah, it'll be great.
And we will.
And then you can I'm actually looking forward to it.
Yeah, I have a couple places in mind already, but I'm not gonna share them yet.
All right.
Okay.
Love you.
That was fun.
Thank you. It was great.
All right. Thanks for letting me interrogate you. I'm gonna buy a giant spotlight for next time.